In response to the preaching, let us sing from Psalter number 57, all three stanzas of number 57. Congregation of the Lord, among the Christian feasts, Christmas Day may certainly be called a day of joy. A day of joy. Now, such a joy could arise from a combination of things. Could be, of course, that you rejoice already because you have a few days off from work. You rejoice because you will gather with your loved ones later on and perhaps even exchange some gifts as well. Good causes for joy. But at the same time, I would say that there is a greater cause for joy, and that is in the message that has been delivered to the shepherds one day, and which we may now also speak of this hour as well. That is the message of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That, dear people, young people, should be the cause of the greatest joy amongst each and every one of us. The angel introduces the words of our text, and he emphasizes this because this is a message of great joy, so he says. And then the shepherds get to hear it. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. Joy is therefore not only part and parcel of this day, but it is even more so part and parcel of the very message that may be proclaimed on this day. And that is what we want to consider in some more detail. And we want to do it in the following way. The angel joyfully announces the birth of the Savior. That's our theme. The angel joyfully announces the birth of the Savior. In the first place, an announcement with a personal touch. Secondly, an announcement with tremendous implications. And then thirdly, an announcement with a down-to-earth sign. So let's then consider the angel joyfully announces the birth of the Savior, an announcement with a personal touch. Now, congregation, the Old Testament rendition of the text is actually found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9 and verse 6. But notice the difference in words. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, we are told, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Now, certainly, this Old Testament announcement had a personal touch to it already. Unto us a child is born. And therefore all believers collectively could say, unto us a child is born. But notice now how the fulfillment of this prophecy is worded in our text. There it says, there is born to you this day. And there is where the emphasis is, to you. And no doubt you have seen it already. At one time or another, the American advertisement for recruits to the United States Armed Forces. I want to give that as an example. I was told that this was a very powerful advertisement that was actually irresistible as America entered into the Second World War. It is a picture of a man who looks very much like Abe Lincoln, dressed in the stars and stripes, top hat and all, looking at you with piercing eyes and with one arm stretched out and his index finger pointed directly at you. Your country needs you. Now that's powerfully personal, isn't it? This is also how powerfully personal the announcement in our text is, dear people. There is born to you, to you, this day, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. In other words, a divine index finger is pointed at you and me this hour. And then not with a fierce look of command, but with joyful sparkles in eyes and in voice, there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The announcement of the angel about the birth of the Savior Jesus Christ, therefore, has a very strong personal touch for each one of us, as we are told, to you. A very strong personal touch it was for the shepherds in Ephrathah's field that night. It was as if the angel of the Lord had his arm stretched out and his index finger pointed directly at them, and perhaps that is exactly how it happened as well. As he joyfully announces to the shepherds, there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now notice that this announcement did not come to the king in his palace or the queen in her arbor. It did not come to the Pharisee walking in the temple or the scribe sitting at his ecclesiastical desk. The announcement did not come to the scholars or to the rich or to the powerful in the land. No, but it came to shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. Keep this in mind, because the angel's joyful announcement had a personal touch, particularly for the shepherds. Now, those shepherds in the fields of Ephrathah are famous in this day and age. We see it all around us, and we hear it as well. Songs have been written about them. Paintings have appeared, etching them out in our minds, and even statues and figurines abound about them, and they form part of the so-called nativity scene. And as I said, we see it all around us. But in the days of the Savior's birth, shepherds weren't famous at all. In fact, we may conclude from what we can read in history that they were the most infamous sort of people. They were poor, they were obscure, and they were unknown and unreliable. In fact, they had no status in the land. Their report or their witness carried no weight in the courts. Shepherds, especially night-watching shepherds, as they were, they weren't popular amongst the people at all. They could not be trusted, so it was said. But still, and it's remarkable, the angel's joyful announcement of the Savior's birth had a personal touch, particularly for those shepherds. Well now, since the angel's joyful announcement is part of the Word of God, it is also a joyful announcement with a personal touch to each one of us today. Because even on this Christmas day, it can be announced by way of the words of our text to all in earshot of this message, whether you are young or old, whether you are a friend, a neighbor, a guest, or a member, there is born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Yes, my friend, this is to you. But you say, I'm poor. Well, so were the shepherds. This is what the Bible says, after all. The poor have the gospel preached to them. Perhaps you say, well, I'm a nobody. So were the shepherds. No one knew them. But if you are a believer in the Savior Jesus Christ, you are known to God. And isn't that what counts? Perhaps you say, well, you know, when it really comes down to it, I have little understanding of all of these things that you tell me from the Bible. My mind just cannot grasp all these biblical things. They're so difficult for me to understand. Well, those shepherds, they weren't exactly scholars either. I doubt they could even read, for that matter. But the angel's joyful announcement was for them. For them. And that with a personal touch. And so it is for you. For you. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, how do I know that this is also for you? Well, read what it says just before our text. When the angel says, and it's as it were an introduction to this message, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. This means that this joyful announcement is meant for all sorts and all types of people, regardless of nationality, of age, or wealth, or fame, or social position, or education, or whatever else. It's for all people. All people. And therefore, this joyful announcement is also for you, whoever you are. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now what you do with this announcement is your responsibility. Perhaps you say, well, it doesn't really do a thing for me. Perhaps it leaves you out in the cold. Perhaps you don't see any sort of joy in this at all. Perhaps you've come, well, it's custom to come to church on Christmas Day. Perhaps your thoughts are to just shrug off the message, just go on with this message, and let's get it over and done with. Now, if those are your thoughts, it does not take away anything from the angel's joyful announcement. It does not take anything away at all from the personal touch. It will not shortchange the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, in any way. You alone will be shortchanged in it, if that would be your attitude of who cares? Because then you will miss out on the joy and the blessings of this announcement, and at the same time you will run the risk of missing out on the greatest, most fabulous Christmas gift that you could ever receive, and that is eternal life. But if you respond to this joyful message with an open mind, and also with an open, humble heart, and say, well, now let's see what this message could mean for me, then I have something to say to you that I believe is worthwhile listening to as we consider it in the second place. An announcement with tremendous implications. Dear people, the joyful announcement is that in the city of David, a Savior is born who is Christ the Lord. In other words, in Bethlehem, some 2,000 years ago, a little baby was born. And this joyful event occurred in a stable, in an animal shelter. And this newborn baby was laid in a manger. Now, most people who are at least somewhat caught up in the Christmas spirit will know this, and they will accept it as, yes, that is a truthful event. Many Christmas songs will also remind us of the same thing as to what has happened. Songs like Silent Night and Away in a Manger and you name it. Most people will accept the fact that Mary gave birth to a baby and that in the most humble and in the most poor and the most dismal surroundings. In fact, those very surroundings have received a status of being somewhat scenic, nostalgic, if not somewhat artistic even. And so a romantic spirit has been injected into this scene so that this baby, no crying he makes, and that all is calm and all is bright. Well, I'm not so sure if the surroundings were all that scenic or artistic. It was most likely a dirty, filthy mess in that stable. And the manger, that is, the feeding trough where Mary laid her baby, was no bassinet in any way, shape, or form. And it is not likely that the little Lord Jesus, no crying he made. Because which healthy baby does not cry? But what most people will find hard to accept and even more difficult to believe is that this baby, born of Mary, is actually the Savior, Christ the Lord. And yet this, dear people, this has tremendous implications for you and for me. To you is born not merely a baby, but a Savior, Christ the Lord. And dear people, this has to be accepted with the mind, and it has to be believed with the heart. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The implication, therefore, is tremendous, because this means that you must, first of all, recognize yourself to be in need of a Savior. That you are also able to understand and come to some sort of conviction of the fact that without this Savior, you would actually be lost. After all, who else would require saving but those who are in danger? I'll give you an example. Someone standing on the beach does not need to be saved from drowning. But a person over his head in the water, helplessly flailing his arms and crying for help, gulping seawater with each spasm of breath, he needs saving. And so it is with you and me. If we confess Christ Jesus as Savior, it means that you are implying that you stand in need to be saved. And to be saved from much worse fate than drowning in the sea. That is, that terrible fate of sinking in the depths of hell under a load of guilt and sin. You need to be saved from that. And we cannot do with less than such a salvation, dear people. And the implication is therefore that you have cried out to the Savior because of your sin and of your guilt, and that you have put your trust in Him at the same time that He is completely able to save you from your sin and your guilt. Now, my friend, to you, a Savior is born. And I may joyfully announce this. But unless you cry to this Savior for help, this joyful announcement will do you no good. And therefore, please recognize that you are favored by God this hour in receiving a personal, joyful announcement from Him and about Him. To you is born a Savior. To you. And please do not minimize this announcement, or worse yet, please do not reject this message. Now, as you know, the Bible says that we have all sinned and we have all come short of the glory of God. We know this with our head. But do we recognize this in our heart? And if we do, it means that we are in desperate need of a Savior. And the quicker we realize this, the better it will be for us. And the fact that such a Savior is born to you, and that it is announced this way to you as well, should fill you with joy. Fill you with joy. But now, there is another implication, and tremendous implication, in terms of this joyful announcement. The Savior that is born to you is called Christ the Lord. The baby whose birth we are celebrating this hour is not a helpless and weak infant. He may appear that way as he was laid there in that manger, but he is far from weak and helpless. He is no less than the Son of God. And as such, the Savior of sinners, He is Christ the Lord, emphasized by the angel. Christ the Lord. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. Who is Christ the Lord? So says our text. And as I said, this too has tremendous implications for you and for me today. As Christ, it means that He is the anointed one, that He is the chosen one, that He is designated, that He is the empowered one by God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And at the same time, as Lord, it means that He is the supreme ruler and commander of all those whom He saves. And this means, therefore, that if you want Him as a Savior, you must also obey Him as your Lord. You see, you cannot just accept Jesus as your Savior without obeying Him as your Lord. And it is very wonderful to be able to confess that you love Him who has saved you. But He says at the same time, if you love Me, keep My commandments. And His commandments are simple. You are to flee from sin. You are to resist temptation. You are to do good. You are to love God. You are to love the brethren. And if you are saved, you will want to obey those commandments. And because you love Him for saving you. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now, is this announcement not enough reason of joy with each one of us, dear people? Have you discovered already that there is far more to the fact that merely a baby was born somewhere 2,000 years ago, laid in a manger? Have you experienced something of the saving powers of this babe in Bethlehem? Has salvation already become the reason for your joy in this Savior? And has it become your joy then also to obey Him as Christ the Lord, even as Christ your Lord? Well, dear people, a joyful announcement has come to you this hour. But you see that this joyful announcement has tremendous implications for each one of us. Precisely for you and you and you and me. It is our responsibility now to act upon this joyful announcement. And the most wonderful thing is that God can do all that is necessary to make you act in the right way. And if you haven't done so as yet, call upon God. God, teach me to act positively to this message. Now thirdly, briefly yet, let me say something yet about an announcement with a down-to-earth sign. And again, we have our text, for there is born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Now, congregation, have you ever noticed that although the angel of the Lord made this specific announcement, nevertheless did not tell the shepherds what to do next? He never told them that they should now leave the sheep, that they should now go to Bethlehem, that they should look up the stable and go and worship this child. The angel gave the shepherds no order or command to do anything. He simply told them, here's a sign for you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. And yet we are told that they, with haste, went to Bethlehem. And we're told that in verse 16. With haste. No orders, yet with haste. Doesn't that put us to shame? Those shepherds received the joyful announcement and they promptly and voluntarily hasted to see the Christ child. They did not need any sort of exhortation. They went, and they went on their own accord. They even encouraged each other, come, let us go and see it. Now you and I, we should not need to be exhorted to turn to the Savior to be saved, should we? The joyful announcement should actually be enough already to be excited about it and for us promptly to go to the Savior Jesus Christ to be saved. Boys and girls, if I would set a package in front of you with the joyful announcement, here's a gift from you, from a kind and generous person, would it be necessary for me to tell you now, go ahead and open it up and see what it is? No. From the sheer joy of seeing this package in front of you and hearing that this is a gift for you, you will excitedly open it up immediately and see what's in it. So it was with the shepherds. The joy in the announcement of the Savior born in Bethlehem was enough for them already to be excited and hastily see what this was all about. And so it should be with us, you and me. There should be no hesitation at all with any of us to go to the Savior, even with haste. But there is another thing yet that you should notice. And it has to do with this sign. Those shepherds never asked for a sign. Nevertheless, the sign was given them. And God made it relatively easy for the shepherds to find the Savior, therefore. He gave them a sign whereby they would be able to find Him. And the sign was that it would be a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. Now, there were no doubt other babies in Bethlehem who were also wrapped in swaddling cloths. That was the usual custom of that day. They were tightly wound up in strips of cloth. Nothing unusual about that. But what was unusual about this baby was that they would find him lying in a manger. Now think of that. What did this mean to the shepherds? It means that this baby, Christ the Lord, was wonderfully accessible to them. The king's palace would not have been accessible to the shepherds. neither the temple, nor the inn, where after all there was no room for anyone else anymore anyway. And to be realistic, the homes in Bethlehem that night were not accessible to the shepherds either. But the stable was. The stable was. There was nothing to hold them back. They did not need to fear the king. They did not need to fear the priests or the innkeeper, nor the people in Bethlehem. The sign was there for them. The babe was there in a manger. Dear people, this tells us something. So it is with the Savior, Jesus Christ, for us today. He is wonderfully accessible. There is nothing that should hold you back. Nothing. He is to be found whenever you, as it were, close your eyes and open your heart and open your confession and open your need for Him in all quietness. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. That's how accessible He is. The sign is therefore very down to earth, isn't it? Even as you bow your knees and you learn to worship Him, the Savior, Christ the Lord, most wonderfully accessible. And dear people, that is really the joy of the message. And so I ask you, will you not also go with the shepherds and see what the angel has announced and stand there, or perhaps kneel down at the manger and worship Christ the Lord, my Savior, yours? Amen.